2 Timothy chapter number 3 this morning in your Bibles. And let's go ahead and stand to our feet. We'll read together and try to honor the Lord's word and let you stretch a minute. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. While you're turning there, I'm going to read a verse to you. The Bible says in Matthew 24, verse 3, "And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming at the end of the world?" Now in 2 Timothy chapter number 3, verse 1, the Bible says, "This know also in the last days, perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those things that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away." You can have a seat. Thank you for standing. We have, seems like we have entered a new dimension, a new phase in our time. If you have been keeping up at all with the news and what's going on in our world, it's almost like the Bible just unfolding day by day. There are major shifts happening in the world, and it's just getting this world ready for what the Word of God teaches and tells us that will happen in the last days. And I read a verse to you out of the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 24, where Jesus was preaching there on that that mount and that Olivet discourse, and he was dealing and making statements, and he made the statement about how, looking at the temple, how there would come a time when there wouldn't be one stone left unturned; it would be destroyed. And boy, that perked the disciples' attention up, and their antenna went up, and they asked this question to the Lord. And I think it's a question that, as we are facing what we are facing, I believe it'd be a good question for us to ask as well. "And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, what shall these things be? When shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world?" Now that sounds dramatic. I don't think you could get more dramatic than talking about the end of the world. We're not talking about the end of a presidency, end of a country, but the end of the world. I think that should grab everybody's attention. And I'm not going to be giving you my opinion this morning. I'm not going to give you what the pundits on TV are talking about, what the allies or the enemies of even Israel are talking about. But we're going to look at the Word of God, and I want to give you a biblical definition and a biblical description of the end of time. And because it really don't matter what, if you want to be amused, Google the end of time or the end of the world. And boy, they are some foolish people out there that don't know anything. But it really don't matter what I have to say or what you think. What matters when we're thinking about something as serious and sober-minded as the end of the world, what really matters is what God said about the issue. And so I want to look at the Word of God this morning right out of 2 Timothy chapter number 3, these five verses, God gives us a description of how it will be. And nearly 2,000 years ago, the Apostle John penned the following prayer when Jesus promised in the book of the Revelation that I will return quickly. John said in Revelation 22, 20, and which testifieth these things, saying, Jesus said, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. That was John's prayer. John was saying, you said you're coming quickly. Come on. Come fast as you can come. So John felt in his heart and believed that Jesus was coming soon. Even in his day, John expected him to come. And that's been 2,000 years ago. Paul, the apostle, expected Jesus to come. Listen to these verses in 1 Thessalonians 4, 13. Paul said, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and, listen, remain. He didn't say y'all which are alive and remain. He said we. Paul thought, I will be in that number that is still living and remaining on planet Earth when Jesus comes back. Paul expected his return to be in his lifetime. And we know that's been a long, long time ago. He said, shall not prevent them which are asleep, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And so Paul fully believed, not just one time, but twice in that text, he made reference to we will be caught up together. We which are alive and remain. So he had confidence and full confidence that Jesus' return was imminent in his day. And so, what about Simon Peter? Simon Peter tells us in 2 Peter 3:12 that he's looking for that day himself. So all these disciples, listen to this verse, 2 Peter 3:12, looking and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. That word looking that he used there, that the Holy Ghost prompted him to write, is in the present tense. He was actively looking. As he was penning, he was looking for the coming of the Lord. So Peter believed he was living in the last days. Paul believed he was living in the last days. John the Revelator believed he was living in the last days. And I know there'll be scoffers and mockers who say, well, you're just playing on the tabloids and you're just playing on the emotions of the people because Israel's back at war. And how many times have we heard that? And how many times have we heard preachers get up and preach about the end of time and the end of the world and the last days? Many. My whole life, I've heard it. It used to bother people. When a preacher, how many of you are old enough to remember revivals when they would preach in power and demonstration of the Holy Ghost, but it seemed like at the end of the meeting, that Friday night message and that Friday night meeting was usually on the coming of the Lord and the end of time. And boy, people would just fall out of their pews and come down to an altar and get saved by the grace of God. People had a sense of belief that it was real. Now you can preach on the coming of the Lord and the end of the world, and people just yawn and wonder what time we'll get out of church, unmoved, unbothered at all. And that's just a sign. Let me say this. That's just the Word of God coming to fulfillment. The Bible said they will be scoffers. And they'll say, where is the promise of His coming? We've heard this our whole life, and
And that's boring, and it ain't happened to date. No, it hadn't. But can I say this to you? Though John the Revelator was looking and believing he was coming in his day, and Paul the Apostle believed fully he would come in his day, and Peter the disciple believed he would come in his day. That's been 2,000 years ago. Yes, but can I say this? That just means we are 2,000 years closer to the coming of the Lord. We're closer today than we've ever been to the coming of the Lord. I'm not going to preach to you about what's going on in the world per se. I will allude to that. It would be foolish for us not to look at what's happening. But I'm more interested in what we're reading right out of the Word of God. Because God tells us in detail. I'm not going to tell you the day or the hour. I'm not going to give you the specific time, but I'm going to give you an idea. And you that are saved and you that know the Word of God, you can look at the days we're living in and look at the Word of God, and you can know that His coming is imminent. And you can see signs of the time. And as the old song says, they're appearing everywhere. And so, as we look at the description of the coming of the Lord in the end times, I just read that, alluded to that verse, Matthew 24:36, but of the day and the hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. So, the question this morning is, are we living in the last days? Do you believe we are? In the text we read, there are three identifying truths mentioned, and if we can get to all of them, we will. If not, I'll come back to the ones tonight that we don't get to this morning. But there's three truths in the text we read that I believe describes perfectly what the conditions will be. And you don't have to lean on modern technology. You don't have to wonder if you being force-fed through liberal media or through some conservative media, and it's got a taint or a slant. No, we can look right to the pure Word of God and know it's not slanted one way or the other, but it's truth to whoever will hear and believe it. And so, number one, let's look together at a biblical description of the last days. Number one, the climate of the last days. Verse 1 said, "This know also, in the last days perilous times shall come." Not maybe, not might, but they shall come. And you know that word, you've heard it preached and heard it taught. Perilous means dangerous and dark days, and my goodness, are we not living in those? I've been on planet Earth about 46 years plus, and I've never seen a day more dangerous. I've never seen a setting so dim and so dark. I mean, life is not valued in any realm or any corner. People are trying to find ways to legislate the butchering and murder of babies. I mean, the most innocent among us. And then there's others who want to go the other end of the spectrum and push to take lives at the end of somebody's life and say, you know, that's just not... That they're not adding anything to our society and they're just costing us. And you say, well, I ain't heard of that. Keep your ears open. I promise you it's already in the works. Because once you start devaluing life and once you take your eyes and your heart and your mind away from what God called life, it won't matter if they're old or they're young or middle-aged. Life will be devalued. And if you can kill a baby, you'll have no problem killing an elderly. Dangerous days. Paul describes the last days as perilous times. The word perilous means difficult, troublesome, trying, uneasy, hard, violent, threatening, dangerous. Have anybody watched the news this week? It's unfathomable. The barbaric nature. I heard news outlets and people in the news who don't even claim to know God talk about the depravity of these people. And I tell you this morning, I believe it's beyond depravity. I believe it's demon possession. I believe it's demonic and dark to go in and butcher babies and cut their heads off and burn them and take elderly people and kill them and take 30 or 40 children, small children, toddlers, and put them in a room and lock the door and roll burning tires in the room to burn them alive. That's beyond depravity. That's demonic. I'd say it's perilous. You say, well, that's on the other side of the world. Have you seen what's going on in our colleges since this has happened? Have you seen the protests by the thousands of people standing up and saying Hamas was right and Israel was wrong and Israel's the true invader and Israel's the one at fault? And how can you look at the desecrated, burned, beheaded bodies of precious children and families? Mothers who were made to watch them kill their children, then they would be killed. How can you say and justify, I don't care what you believe, that that's okay? But yet we have professors and teachers in our colleges that are pushing and promoting and standing up. You say, why are you talking about this? Because it's happening not around the world, in our country. And I say again, I said it last week, I'll say it again, you better be careful where you send your children to school. That's right, that's right. It's about time preachers stand up and take the Word of God and connect it to where we're living. This is in our face. And this must be addressed. It's wicked. It's perilous. So, while these characteristics have marked all-time periods of history, and some, to some extent, they are to be intensified in the last days. Paul described a dangerous, violent time. We can all see that clearly. You don't have to stretch to see it. You don't have to go out of your way to see it. It's everywhere around every corner. And I'm talking about what's happening happened this week and what's all over the news. But when you think about dangerous and perilous and tragic and terrible, it ain't just what's going on in Israel. But right here in our country, just the wickedness and the we were me and Jenny rode to the mountains one day this past week, and we pulled in to get gas, and they were, three cops swarmed in, and they were arresting this woman, and she just walked in some store, and I bet she had $5,000 worth of clothes. She just walked out of the store. We had to make 10 trips. I mean, one police car wasn't enough to hold all the stuff that woman just hauled out and said, well, I don't have to pay for this. You wonder why your clothes are so high? That's why. Because people think they can just take and steal and go. You say, well, that's just petty and that's small. No, we've allowed the petty and small that we think in our mind, and this overrunning our society. Our society is falling apart. I mean, coming apart at the threads. It ain't just abortion. It ain't just on the other side walking in a store and stealing. It's all in between. I mean, people are getting beat and people are getting thrown at and cussed at. Do you know Jews in this country this week, they're hiding under their desk in the colleges. They're not even able to go to school. You say, well, that's just the Jew. Don't ever say that's just the Jew. God still said, if you bless them, I'll bless you. You curse them, I'll curse you. And as we're allowing our country to go against them people, we are in trouble. Trouble. It's a dangerous time we're living in. Those who practice righteousness and preach about righteousness are called intolerant, bigoted, narrow-minded, antisocial, and we are labeled dangerous. While those who practice deviant and sinful lifestyles are labeled heroes in our society. Perilous. So it's not only dangerous, but these days are determined days. We may wonder why days such as these may factor into God's plan for the world, but listen, God's not the author of evil and confusion. He has determined to abandon sinful man to his choice of a life of wickedness. God has been so gracious and so merciful. Look at America. We don't have to look further. Look at our own country. God did shed His grace on us. God has been so good to us. God has been so long-suffering and so patient with us while we've snobbed Him and while we've rolled our eyes at Him and pushed Him back and said, we don't want you. We don't want your word and we don't want anything to do with you. And yet God just still blessed us beyond measure. But even God can get to a place to where He says, no more. You've run out. You've went too far. And God said, there'll come a day when I will laugh at your calamity. And you'll call on me and you'll pray to me and I will laugh at you. Make a mock of you. Because we've made a mockery of Him so long. And there's coming a day, and I'm not, Brother Ned, I'm worried that we're already there in America. I don't see our country as a whole experiencing revival. I don't see our country as a whole peeling back and scaling back all the wicked ways we've went. And I do think as churches, as small segments and groups of people, I think individually you can experience revival. I believe that with all my heart. I believe churches can sense and experience a touch of revival. But as a nation, as a whole, the Bible still says any nation that turns from God will be turned into hell. Listen, our nation is in trouble. God help us. God help us. They're determined days. They're dangerous days. Regardless of how we want society to improve and get better, we're just continually sliding into deeper decay and deeper rot in America. How many of you that are my age or older ever dreamed we'd get here in this country? It was a different world. Our childhood was a different world. You parents like me that have small children, did you ever think you'd be in public and you'd have to make sure you had your hand on your children in America, especially in the Bible Belt? Never crossed my mind. We would go out when we were kids and go halfway across the county. No cell phones, no way to track, no way to keep, just because it was a safer day. Now, if I don't know where my children are and can track them and know where they're, I can't take it because there's too many wicked people out there wanting to hurt and mess up your children and mine. I'm simply saying it's dangerous. Dangerous days. The natural man, instead of getting spiritual and better, more godly, the natural man grows more wicked. It's everything opposite of what they teach. We're not evolving. We're not getting better. No, we're getting worse. Open your eyes and look. How can you say this is better? It ain't better. No, we're way worse as a whole. Ephesians 4:22, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful, his deceitful lust. Daniel 12:10 tells us that the wicked shall do wickedly. Sinners are going to sin. We'll see in a few minutes. The spread of evil is not just in the world, but it's in the religious realms as well. Things that are allowed and accepted in churches used to be unheard of. It'd be preached against, much less accepted. So the climate of the last days. Number two, and I won't be able to get through this one even, but don't look at the characters of the last days. God tells us in His Word some of the people that you can look for. They some characters. You say, well, where do I look for them? sadly, you can see some even at church. You can see some of these people in your life, I promise you. And God, I mean, listen, He gave a long list of people and characters you could look for. You may wonder, why did He go so detailed? Because He wanted us to know the description of these days so we'd be able to understand. Listen to verses 2 through 5. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. If we've ever lived in a day that's true, it's today. Men love themselves more than they do their families, their children. They will walk out on their children and never look back. They will love a hobby or a habit or some job, and they will leave their family. They'll love another one. Fill in the blank. They are lovers of themselves. That's the day we're living in. You seen any of them characters? Look at the statistics of the family and the home in America. That character ain't hard to find. No wonder God led with that one. Men shall be lovers of their own selves. Here's one: covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. I'm not going to preach right there this morning, but I could. Without natural affection has taken over our society. It's taken over our schools. It's taken over Hollywood. It's taken over sports. It's taken over everything. People who have put up on a pedestal, those people that don't have natural affection. It ain't natural. It ain't normal. Say, what do you mean? It ain't normal. It ain't natural for men to love men. It's ungodly. It's an abomination for boys to say they are girls. Y'all young people listening to me, that's wicked for girls to say I'm a lesbian or I'm a trans. No, that's ungodly. That's wicked. That's birthed out of the pits of hell. It's unnatural affection. God didn't create you to have affection for the people of your same liking. No. If you're a girl, let me tell you what that natural thing is in you to like a boy. I know when you're y'all's age, it ain't natural. They, ooh, nasty, yuck. But just give it a few years. And where Lola Beth used to say, ooh, nasty, gross. Now she's like, ooh, ha ha. Yeah. Daddy, can I have a boyfriend? I don't want to have that conversation till you're about 20. Don't ask no more. But you know what? Even I'd much rather her say, Daddy, can I have a boyfriend than Daddy, can I have a girlfriend? Because I hope I've raised you better than that. But you don't ever know. I guarantee you, everybody in here's got some family member that's got caught up in that wickedness. You know people. They come and sit on these church pews, and I will preach to them in love, and I will love them. But I will tell them what God said about it. Because it ain't natural. That's the characters that we have seen rise to the top. That God said, I'm giving you a description of the conditions and the characters that you'll see when it's the last days. Unnatural affection. Lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, truce breakers. I'm going to say more about these individually. So let me just read. Unholy, without natural, unholy, fear, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. You know what God ended up that verse by saying? I don't want you to accept that. It ain't okay to rally with them and be accepting. God said, from such, turn away. Don't associate. Don't befriend. Love them. Pray for them. Tell them the truth. But from such, turn away. They ain't going to help you. And if you really love them, do what God said. Turn them away and show them there is a problem with how they're living. We have condoned so much that it's become accepted. We can't afford to condone that. Because I don't know about you, but I don't want one of my four children, one of my four daughters coming to me and say, "Daddy!" No. No! I want my daughter saying, "Daddy, I want a boyfriend." Bad as I don't like that, I'll take it. Because that's natural. It's normal. That's what they're supposed to do in time. Then, so as we think about these characters, listen, look at their deeds. Because your deeds is what determines your character. What we do, Jesus said it this way, "If you love me, keep my commandments." In other words, what you do tells me way more than what you say. And so you can look at what people say, but that's great, but look at their deeds, and that'll tell you who they are. And these three verses, Paul describes the kind of people who will live during the last days. He tells us how they will think and how they will live. One need only read these verses and cross-reference them with the newspaper, the evening news, or social media to see that we are surrounded by those who fulfill these characters and characteristics. They're everywhere. So with that in mind, you tell me, are we living in the last days? God said these will be the conditions and these will be the characters. So far, we're batting 1,000. You make your case to me that we're not. Because God, and by everything God said, I'd say we are. Without question, we are. I'm going to come back and deal with these individually tonight, but I want to close this morning by saying this. You say, what does it matter? Okay, point taken. God give a description of the last days. Okay, it's the last days. Whoop-de-doo. What does that mean? I'll tell you what it means. The Bible clearly teaches that if we really believe that He's coming and coming soon, it'll change how we live. We will cleanse ourselves. We will repent of our sin and we'll get right with Him, because if you really believe He's coming before the sun sets this evening, I promise you, you don't want to meet Him in the condition you're in. Are you listening? How many people, you didn't raise your hand, but ask yourself, if Jesus comes for church tonight, do I have anything I need to change? I'll tell you this. John prayed, Brother David, he said, "Even so, come quickly." Can we really pray that? Because I got a lot of people I ain't witnessed to that I should have. And before I say, "Come quickly, Lord," there's some people I need to visit. But before I say, "Come on, Jesus," there's some people I need to pray for. There's some people I need to call. There's some things in my life I need to get straightened out before I say, "Come on, Lord." I don't know about you, but I ain't ready to meet Him. You say, "Ooh, I can't believe you said that." Well, ooh, if you just get honest with yourself, you could say that and would. We all got some cleaning up to do. We all got some people that we need to talk to, some places we need to go, and some strengthening we need to do with the Lord, with our family, and with our church. Because if Jesus is coming, and it is the last days, I don't think you can read those verses and look at the day we're living and come to any other solution or answer. So if we are, it's back in your lap and mine. What are you going to do about it? How are you going to be different? What are you going to change? Because we've heard this, and I agree, we've all heard it and heard it and heard it and heard it and heard it. And we just all think, "Well, that ain't for us, and he ain't coming today." Now, we wouldn't come out and verbalize that and say that, but again, our deeds. Prove it. If you thought Jesus was coming at 10 o'clock tonight, would you be in church tonight? I guarantee you would. You ain't going to miss the last church service before Jesus comes. Come on now, be honest. He said, well, but you don't know what I got. No, I'm telling you, if Jesus was coming at 10 o'clock tonight, it'd amaze you how our priorities would change. It amazes you things that we say we can't do that we would do if we knew he was coming. Don't be, hey, listen, if you're in here not saved, the Bible, Jesus gave a parable about those that had lamps and those that were foolish and didn't put oil in their lamps and they didn't prepare and they didn't get ready. And when they came, hey, listen, they didn't have nothing. They were unprepared and they did not get to go. And I'm telling you, he is a loving God, but he's given you every opportunity under the sun. He loved you enough to die for you. He shed his blood for you and he's been gracious and patient with you. And if you don't get saved, it ain't, you'll never point a finger at God and say it was his fault. He's given you every opportunity. And that's to a lost person. If you're saved, he's given us every opportunity to get right, to warn us, to pull us, to get us to take this serious. The signs are popping everywhere. I'm coming. I'm coming. I'm coming soon. Get ready. Prepare. Get ready. Get ready. Whatever you're going to do for me, do it now because time's up. Lord, help us. Let's stand. Father, in Jesus' name, help us. Oh, God, help us. Take this serious, Lord. God, just the simple description you give us from your word. Lord, we ain't got to all of it, but what we have, God, is so clear. So clear, Lord. We are living in the last of the last days. And I pray in Jesus' name, if there's somebody here lost today, you'd save them.